Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about keeping an open mind to new ways to buy land. Jill pointed out to me that that's not really a complete sentence.
I know, it's just like, I'm a little confused.
So here's the gist of it.
But wait a minute, do you mean don't do direct mail?
No.
Oh, okay. Whew. Scared me for a second there.
That's what tomorrow's topic is.
Uh-oh. Okay.
No. Direct mail should, at least for the next many years, be part of how you establish deal flow, if not the only part.
Exactly.
This topic today is all about keeping your mind open, you know, toward new ways of actually buying land and the way that this business model may snake its way into whatever you do next.
Evolve.
You know, evolve is great. Okay. You know, organically grow. A great example is, you know, the interview with Jill yesterday about what we're doing in Los Angeles. That's not something I ever thought, you know, that I would have thought about even 6 months ago.
Right.
That we would be involved in. So I don't want to talk about that here too much because it's off topic. So please listen to yesterday's show. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of the members. One of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
If you're not watching, it's kind of funny because Stephen looked at me and I just had this blank look on my face like, I got nothing.
So what that means is, if you're married, you know how this goes.
Oh, okay.
What this means is your spouse has a million looks. And you could fill volumes with just what one look is versus the next look. And the person off the street's not going to know that the looks are any different. But after you spend a certain amount of time, so the look that Jill just gave me was,
oh, this is good.
I'm not so sure this episode is organized as well as it could be. And I expect you to take the lead, Steve. Tee it all up. Ask me a couple questions in the middle and then bring it back down and close. It's your episode, Steve. Tell me I'm wrong about any of that.
That was verbatim what was in my head. The notes I wrote down before this show do not apply.
She crossed them out. She crossed out all of her notes, right?
I sat down and I looked and I said, this is not what I thought we were talking about. So it's your show, man.
All right. So it'll be the Steve show.
You will.
You know what? I can handle it.
Yes, you can. All right. Carly S. wrote, oh, it says not a member. FYI. Let's see how the question goes, if we can tell anyway.
That's why I wrote it in there.
Oh. I'm buying three lots for $10,000, hoping to sell them for around $15,000 each. Love it. The title insurance company is asking how much I want to insure each parcel for. My first time doing this with title insurance. Started in March. I bought and sold 7 parcels so far.
Good.
Any guidance is greatly, great guidance is appreciated.
That's great.
I do not think it even matters. I would tell them divide buy them by three, put $333,000 insurance, $3,000 whatever, because that doesn't. It's not. That part is really not important. What's important is the title insurance itself, showing it was transferred correctly. That kind of thing weighs more.
All title insurance companies have a minimum insurance amount. This is really, really important to them. And like Jill just eloquently just said, we don't care at all.
Right.
You know, because 99% of the time, their minimum threshold for First American is about $80,000 or $90,000. That's the cheapest that's what the insurance policy is for. We're buying these properties for $5,000 sometimes and paying $1,000 or $2,000 to get the deal closed, or worst case. So the title insurance amount, there's two rookies here. I think the title insurance agent's a rookie, yeah. And I think that, Carly, no offense, I'm glad you started in March and you're killing it. And this is a very, very intelligent question, or I would not have put it in here. I think your answer to this question is, for you or anybody who runs into this, it's the minimum amount that you require. And if you want to sound super intelligent, say, hey, I know that what I'm buying here is way cheaper than your minimum. That's okay. I'll pay for the insurance. I get it. You're an insurance company.
So it depends on the company. Like right now I'm doing some little deals in New Mexico. And if you look at the title insurance policy, it's $175 it's or whatever
cheap.
It is.
Super cheap.
And it's the exact amount of the deal, which is $5,400. Because he's really? So these are deal funding. Yep. No. It'll say insurance insured amount. It's exactly the purchase price. Exactly. It doesn't say assured amount, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000. It doesn't say that. It says the exact purchase price on all our HUD ones. And this is my little, it's a cool mom and pop agency that I'm working with. And they do it just, that's why I was saying divided by three. They could put, and they were going to look at their chart. And every title company, by the way, has a chart for their fees that's recorded. With the state, if you will, because we started to go down that path, but that's a whole nother story. don't want to dredge that up. Anyway, so they have they probably have a bottom number. It's $175 is the minimum, and that's what you're paying.
Yeah, there's a minimum.
But that's just for that one part. And then and if you look you'll know.
Yeah.
If you haven't done this yet, you know. I still do this, everyone. I still read line by line by line by line the HUD ones, and I find stuff. Even just yesterday, I told Amy, last time I checked.
Amy's Joe's assistant.
Yes. I'm buying this property, right? And the documents were emailed to the seller and emailed to me, the buyer. We each printed them out, are signing them, and sending them back in on our own dime. Well, shucks, I found a $90 courier fee. Why would I pay a $90 courier fee? Last courier for what? So anyway, we're going to get that. It's silly, but I go through the dumb thing and make sure it's right.
Huge profit center for them.
Oh, totally. And it's just, and I don't think they mean to do that most of the time. I just think they're like, oh yeah, you just point out to them. They're like, oops, sorry. Yeah, I don't need that. Don't need that.
You know, there's a bigger point here at work. And I alluded to it earlier this week. Jill actually did on Monday show, maybe it didn't air on Monday. The show was called The Three Things That It Takes to Succeed at This, to be a land investor, I'm paraphrasing. And number three was doing the work, a commitment to do the work. Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about. This is the stuff that you need to do. Like, you can't just gloss over a HUD one and sign it and send it back.
Yeah, look
you
at know, it.
Either you or a very diligent, detail-oriented person that works for you needs to look at this stuff, and that's like for the rest of your life.
It's true.
Like, this is, gosh, I don't know.
Pay attention.
How many deals have we done?
Right.
How many deals have we done? And I mean, I'm trying to think, every HUD one's got some issue with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Every single one. Like, you never get one and say, wow, this is a work of art. I'm going to sign this and send it back.
Exactly. The best part is, too, the same company, like, what the heck? On one page, they spelled my last name wrong. Another page, they put the company wrong. I'm like, really? Really? All right, how does this get to me? But it does, so anyway.
There's a lot of details in all this, and a lot of work and a lot of commitment.
Exactly.
And it's incredibly profitable. There's a reason we live on the ocean in Southern California.
Exactly.
And, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, I didn't move in here that day and say, you know what, I don't have to look at a HUD one anymore.
Yeah, could you imagine?
Pat myself on the back.
Nope. Now I'm really looking at them.
Yeah, because I want to stay here.
Exactly.
Today's topic, keeping your mind open to new ways to buy land. This is the meat of the show. Jill's confused by the title. I'll clarify.
If I'm confused, you are probably also.
All these new things come across. If you're successful at this, or a lot of you are successful at this, there are things that are going to come across your field of vision that make a lot of sense. Like, when you develop, or if you've developed the skill of utilizing a database, pulling data out of it, scrubbing it, and sending an offer out, regardless of the product that you buy, land, houses, or apartments, or whatever, people are gonna come to you and say, the stuff, what you understand, I don't necessarily understand, but what I can bring to the table is, let's say, installing mobile homes. You know, or they'll say something like, I've been a mobile home installer for, I just had this conversation yesterday. I've been a mobile home installer for 25 years. I've never really been able to make money at it as a developer because I can't find any cheap land in the MLS. Well, that, you know, then there's me running into the bathroom, jumping up and down and screaming, because that's like a multi-million dollar opportunity for me, because that's all I do is know how to buy cheap land. And he's not, the person's never going to learn. He's a mobile home guy. So that's my, I see the reason for this title, this incorrectly written title, according to Jill, is because people come to us. I've seen people just close their mind. It's like, yeah, that's not what I do. Have a good day. So while I think it's really important to stay on key and limit what you do for a living to make sure that you do it really well and that you're at the top of your game, I don't want you to completely close your mind to the fact that there might be some guy that's coming to you saying, you know, I hear this from money guys all the time. I have all this money and I just don't know exactly what to do. Jill's looking at her watch now. Now she's looking at her watch.
No.
What's after this?
Nothing. I have a meeting. You're all good.
What time?
1 o'clock. You're fine.
So my point is, just keep an open mind to it.
I'm not trying to rush you.
You're just not interested in this at all.
Well, I'm waiting for my part.
Make your part.
Oh. Okay, so this is just about, okay, new ways to buy land. And
this is not new ways to buy land.
Oh, okay.
This is about keeping your mind open to new ways
new
to
business
apply,
ideas?
To apply this talent that you've developed about mining databases.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of uses for land. There's people that want to develop,
amusement parks. I gotcha. All right.
There's people that want to develop fast food restaurants or bank branches. There are people that want to develop mobile kitchens and on and on and on. It's very, land use is, you know,
your
imagination is, you know, only limited by your imagination. So as an entrepreneur or a business person, come across other people that do stuff, regardless of the environment, you know.
All right.
You can take orders.
Let me back up. So this for you is about not like just buying rural vacant land and selling it to a fisher or a hunter or a farmer or someone who wants to live off the grid. Now you're like, let's get strategic here and be thinking about this stuff, which to me, for me, the best thing is I was part of my original, what I thought this was about. I was like, I read my email. I see who's looking for land and what they're looking for and why. So, and I know you do this. We read articles about other investors and what's going on around us and around the country, where things are growing and not growing. So that's kind of what you're talking about, I guess. So being open to who needs property, regardless of who they are, not the hunter, the farmer, the
end user,
camper,
the off the grid guy. It's not just rural vacant land.
Cabin, yeah. People that are doing whatever. It's like it might be the developer next door, or it might be the guy who owns a chicken restaurant down the street.
That's it.
And he's expanding. You never know. Yeah, there's people all around
That's
you
my point.
Who need property. They need dirt. They need property. They need space for something. Well, you know, and okay, you're right. I would like to throw this
now
in
she
too.
Likes the topic.
Well, now I understand. So, ding ding, interesting fact. You know, this, you have the tools and the knowledge and the resources to pick up any kind of property. What if it's commercial? What if you've got storage center guy that you, there's a guy in your REI meetup who's jumping up and down with storage center things, and he's got this, he knows how to do it, he knows how to build them, he knows how to grow them, he's got the perfect cookie cutter model now to put it, he just doesn't know how to get the dirt, and he's calling real estate agents,
yeah.
And he's doing this, you need to take that guy aside and go, tell me what you need, I'll go get it.
Yeah, exactly. This mobile home guy I was talking to is like, I wish I had more work. I'm like, what do you, what? Why? I can, you want some work? Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
You good now? All right. Let's get you out of here at 1. Join us next time for another episode called Adventures in Texting Landowners. Hey, how's that for like a very concise title?
I like it. I know what it means. And we answer your questions. Post it on our online community at landinvestors.com. It is free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
You good?
I'm good.
Okay. You know, the Land Academy Daily Show remains commercial-free for you, our loyal listener. So wherever you're watching or wherever you're listening, please subscribe and rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.